The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Hi, everybody. Coming up, Nicole tells your fortune, looking ahead. So get out your crystal and stay tuned with Mistress Nicole. All dressed in leather, you won't forget her. You want to love her and you won't let go. Who's that woman, crazy woman, Nicole?
So, 2021 couldn't just leave well enough alone. Damn it! Betty White, who was supposed to live forever, died today. New Year's Eve, 18 days or thereabouts before her 100th birthday. Are you kidding me? Oh, my God. Thank you, Betty White. Thank you for the years of enjoyment and comedy and her unending humor and willingness to poke fun at herself. You know, back when I was a kid, when Betty White was, oh God, what was her character's name on Mary Tyler Moore? I'm drawing a blank. It'll come to me when I'm not thinking of it. I didn't like her character. She was so, you know, full of herself. I mean, she was such a tart, as they say. And it used to bug me because I was a kid and that behavior bugged me. And it wasn't until I got older that I really appreciated her. And with each passing year, I appreciated her more and more and more. And knowing, oh, she died in her sleep. Well, you know what? Good for her, because that's the way to go. You know, when you're 99 years old and the world is already planning your 100th birthday celebration, the best way to go is like that. You go to sleep and you don't wake up. My grandmother, my mother's father died like that. At least she didn't suffer. You know, she lived a wonderful life, but what a loss. And what a giant, you know, fuck you from the universe to us on this, the last day of 2021. She was a ditz. Well, she was on Mary Tyler Moore. But yeah. Sue Ann Niven. That was not Nyland. Sue Ann Niven was her name. Yeah, I told you it would come to me when I wasn't trying to think of it. And again, as a, you know, a probably a preteen when that show was on, I think, her behavior bothered me. I was such a prude. Oh, gee, what happened there? Anyway, there's a new, you know what? The author of the new biography about her, I know him. I'm going to see if I can't reach out to him this weekend and maybe try to get him on the show next week. Talk about timing. Oh, God, I'm sure he would rather she still be alive for another 100 years. Yeah, she made Arthur a regular because of the bigoted response. Okay. Anyway, Betty White. You know, the thought of her dying didn't even arise because she was healthy and vibrant. Okay, but there you go. That is the perfect analogy for 2021. The year that just couldn't shit on us enough. And there we go. You know, I read, I think Dar, who's usually in the chat room, I think it was Dar, posted a meme today yesterday that I saw that is so weirdly perfect. It says, you know, first there was 2020, which was the worst year ever, right? And then 2021, which we all hoped would get better, but obviously didn't. We've talked about how it was a continuation just of 2020. As that joke I heard the other day said, 2021 was just a variant of 2020. And now we are about to embark on 2022. But think about it. Think about how, I know the numbers are 2 2022. But when you say it, it's 2022. Like also, like we can't escape from the curse of 2020. Please. Oh my God. We got to get past it. Let me tell you what's going on today. The phone lines are open, 954-889-6410. If you're on Skype, you can Skype into me. I'm Nicole Sandler, all one word. Harvey J.K. is going to stop by in a little while to talk about some of the stupidest things that happened this year and what needs to happen in 2022. in order to start turning things around. So we'll check in with Harvey for a few minutes. And I've got stuff to share with you. So we'll do that. Now, you know, there's a story brewing down here in Florida. And it concerns the governor, you know, the man I refer to as moron death sentence, Ron DeSantis. This guy, you know, the only reason he got into office, the only reason he became governor of Florida is because the former guy embraced him because he got the Donald Trump kiss. That is the only reason. There was another guy in Florida. Florida, you know, it has the hierarchy. And basically, candidates for governor rise through the ranks. There was a guy, he's still a guy, Adam Putnam, who is a Republican, who, he was ag commissioner. He went through all the right positions, and he was like the next in line to be the next Republican governor of Florida. He was being groomed, and then all of a sudden, Ron DeSantis comes out of right field. He was a backbencher, I think he was a third-term congressman from the Florida Panhandle, which is, you know, Alabama adjacent. Not really Florida, it's more Alabama. Anyway, he comes out of nowhere and wins by emulating Trump. But now, Florida is having, in the midst of the biggest surge of COVID ever. Yesterday, I told you the numbers that were just astounding. Well, they doubled the next day. Looking to see, do I have it here? I probably don't have it here. The observation has been made, and it's all over the interwebs, frankly, that Ron DeSantis hasn't made a public statement or a public appearance, really, in over 2 weeks. This says, as Florida reported nearly 47,000 new coronavirus cases, again, shattering its single day record since the start of the pandemic. Democrats and critics called on Governor Ron DeSantis to do more to address the state's spike in infections driven by the highly transmissible Omicron variant. On Wednesday, the state reported 47,000 new cases. On Thursday, it was like 77,000. And again, today, same number, right? So this thing is out of control. We heard Orange County, Florida Mayor Jerry Demings say at a news conference that the counties in the state have not received any funding to beef up the testing for coronavirus during the holidays. And he also questioned why DeSantis has been missing during these last 2 weeks. This is Jerry Demings.
Our residents, all Florida residents, should be outraged, and they should ask the question, now, where is our state? Where is our governor? Where is Ron DeSantis now?
Yeah.
When was the last time you saw the governor do a press briefing regarding
COVID-19. When is the last time? He's not shy about speaking. In fact, a couple of weeks ago, this might be around the last time we saw him, he went on, oops, I guess we'll take the call. Hi, who's this?
Hi, Nicole. Jeff from Indiana.
Jeff from Indiana. Hey, Jeff. Happy New Year.
I'm mad because I'm cleaning my shop up, and I tried to call you, and I lost the... I can't hear you, but anyway.
Oh, no.
It's a pleasure to talk to you, and Happy New Year.
Well, thank you. Happy New Year to you, too. I appreciate the call. And, so what do you mean you can't hear me? And, you can't hear the show?
Well, it screws with my airless or wireless speaker.
Oh.
So no big deal. But anyway, you know, Nicole, what really pisses me off?
What?
Is all these nutless Republicans that have this "Let's go, Brandon."
Oh my God. And now this you know, race car driver, Brandon, who said, "I'm not political. I really don't like that they're doing this." Did you hear what he's doing now? He put his new logo, his new URL on his car is LGB something for "Let's go, Brandon." It is just astounding.
You know, it's amazing that they have to come up with some, I don't know, gimmick or whatever. Yeah. You know, if I talk to a so-called Trump supporter, I just say, fuck Trump. I mean, I don't need...
No, exactly. Come out and say it.
You know, I don't know why they think they're so smart. Let's go, Brandon. You know, come on.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I hear you.
Oh, well. Oh. Keep up the good work.
Well, thank you so much, Jeff. Thank you for calling. It's good to hear from you out in Indiana. Stay safe there.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right. So before we get, I see Harvey has arrived, but before we get to Harvey, let me finish my thought, which was about Ron DeSantis. So Ron DeSantis is missing, but a couple of weeks ago, I guess it was, he goes on the Fox with Maria Tits Bartiromo. I call her that because she sat behind Donald Trump at the... at a big, oh God, what dinner was it? The Al Smith dinner, which is, and sat behind him with her boobs hanging out. And all you could see, if you're looking at Trump, you saw her cleavage. You couldn't not see it. So that's when she earned the nickname Tits for me. Anyway, so Ron DeSantis goes on with Maria Bartiromo, who I understand used to be a somewhat serious journalist. Go figure. Anyway, she asked him if he got the booster. And you need to hear the way this man talks, because he can't answer a fucking question with a straight answer. So here's how that went.
Fully vaccinated means anymore. The other day, Dr. Fauci said, you know, we could be that fully vaccinated means three shots, which is two shots for the vaccination and then one booster shot. Have you gotten the booster?
So I've done whatever I did, the normal shot. And, you know, that at the end of the day is people's individual decisions about what they want to do. But these boosters, in terms now, Florida, we ban vaccine passports. We won't let them fire you, even private businesses, over this, because we don't think that's appropriate.
We don't think that's appropriate. He didn't answer the question. He's such a chicken shit piece of shit. Well, if you're following the Where's Ron hashtag on Twitter, you'll see that somebody posted that DeSantis's spokesperson came out yesterday and said that he was on vacation. But then they backtracked on that and said, no, he didn't say he was on vacation. Now they're trying to, trying to shame the left for asking where's Ron DeSantis, saying he went 3 days ago with his wife for a cancer treatment because she's got breast cancer. But that doesn't account for the 2 weeks she's been missing, or that he's been missing, right? So, you know, go figure. Sure enough, somebody got a hold of his real spokesperson, and she's telling all. And now, you know, when this woman shows up, you know we're getting the real scoop. So take it away. I think her name is Blair something.
Yes, and thank you so much for having me. Yeah, Governor DeSantis and his family are on vacation, and we at his office don't understand what the big deal is about that. He has a family. You know, he's got kids, and his kids like to bury him in the sand to where his nipples are poking out. And they like to call him Governor DeSantis. Now, tell me that's not funny. Now, that's comedy. He doesn't have COVID. So why did you bring, why am I bringing it up? Because he doesn't have it. You know, people say that Florida did the worst out of every state during the pandemic. But if that's true, then tell me why people are coming to Florida during the pandemic. I'll tell you why. It's because in Florida, Governor DeSantis, he lifts people up to heaven. And that's why people come to Florida.
Yeah, he'll lift you up to heaven. That is Blair Erskine. I had to just go there. Okay, sorry, Harvey. I got to put you off for one more second because David is here and he's got to go work out. So he needs to come in now. So happy anniversary.
I heard that, and I haven't been able to confirm this yet, but I heard that being a wannabe fascist is a comorbidity for COVID.
Oh.
So that could have happened.
Very much so.
6 years ago today, you said, I do.
Yeah. You said, I do too.
Yeah. You said I do, and you made me happy then and happy every minute since then, and I look forward to many more years with you. I hate to steal a line from Jackie Gleason, but I will. Baby, you're the greatest.
Oh, well, you are too. Thank you. Happy anniversary. Mwah. Okay. All right, now on with the show. Speaking of Jackie Gleason...
Well, where is he?
Where is who?
Where is Harvey?
Oh, you mean Harvey J.K.
Yeah, Harvey.
Well, he's coming up right now on the Nicole Sandler Show.
He is. Hey, Harvey, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year and happy anniversary to
Thank
you, too.
Thank you very much. Thank
the two
you very
of
much.
You. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
As long as he doesn't say to the moon, Alice, or something.
Oh, he does all the time. Yeah, that's one of his standards, but, you know, I've learned to ignore it.
Okay, so, very nice.
Yeah, so.
Well, I see everyone's already into the stupidities of the year.
Well, how can you not? Look, this is, you know, here's the thing that I keep going back to, and pardon me if you already heard me say it, but, okay, 2020 sucked. We all agree 2020 sucked out loud. And then we thought we're going to get past it with 2021, which turned out to be a 2020 variant. I mean, it's the only way you can describe it, right? And now we're coming to a year that when you say it out loud, it's 2022. Get it?
Oh, no. Oh, yes, I do. Oh,
jeez. We're so now, screwed.
That's a high for the evening. How's that?
2022. No.
Oh,
so,
my goodness.
There you go. I saw that somebody posted a meme that said it, and I can't get the thought out of my head.
Well, these last few weeks have been something alone, and you know, we just as long as it's catch as catch can today.
Yes.
A few weeks ago, in fact, I think it was just a couple of weeks ago, we went to New York. Not before the Omicron.
Before Omicron. So really so landed. New York was open. It was exciting. Did you go to a show?
We hit some good restaurants right at the outset. And then all of a sudden I came down with what I believe was a terrible cold.
Ooh.
You know, if people haven't been circulating, then it makes it all the more.
Sure.
And I have to tell you, I mean, everyone said, have you been tested? So we went over to a nearby hospital. We were staying on the Lower East Side, and we waited 90 minutes outdoors in the chill, which wasn't so bad. And then they said, once they gave us the tests, they said, oh, but we may not be able to get back to you for 48 hours.
Great. And,
oh my goodness. So the next day I felt like I had a cold. I didn't feel devastated. I didn't feel great, and we walked past in New York, they're called Duane Reade.
The drugstore. Right.
And we got the last of the take-home tests.
Okay.
You know, that thing. And it said negative, which was a relief, needless to say.
Sure.
And then the official one came back from the hospital, same result.
Good.
And so it was great. But during the week, having spent all this money to get to New York for all these different things, I pretty much canceled everything I was due to.
God. You know, because you weren't feeling well.
I didn't want to spread anything. So I did have one meeting at the very end of the week before we flew out a couple of days later. Unfortunately, we did get to see my daughter and her fiance a few times for dinner, which was excellent. But when we left New York, it seemed like everything was just breaking in New York. I mean, the lines were getting really long. People were were trying to get a hold of tests. It was just terrible. I mean, I actually described it as a panic almost, that kind of thing. And I came back to Green Bay, and the mood is decidedly different, generally speaking, in Green Bay. The people I talk to, it's a whole different sort of mindset, really, which doesn't speak well or ill necessarily. It just does speak.
Just different.
Yeah. And then somebody, a good friend of mine, got on a flight the other day from Newark to L.A., supposed to get there, you know, in the course of the night. And it took like 2 days to get there. And then my daughter, our daughter, and her fiance got on a flight, and everything was going great. And they landed on time and everything else. And I sent this note to my friend in L.A. Oh, Fiona did great. You know, the flight was great. They couldn't get off the plane for almost 3 hours. They couldn't get a gate.
Oh, no.
It's just lunacy. And so now to come to the point of all this is that the CDC, when they changed the, I mean, it's as if they bowed to capital.
Yes, they bowed to capitalism is exactly what they did.
They bowed to capital. And of course, all of these flight attendants and everyone else, their lives are getting turned upside down again. What kind of country have we become where somehow in a federal government, which is the most powerful government in the world, they can't come up with a single edict. No vaccines, no flying.
Hello. Right? And now they're talking about...
That's the stupidity that strikes me right now.
Oh, the stupidity is just rampant. Okay, here in Florida, I spent about 20 minutes this morning before I had enough and had to turn it off, watching the live stream of the Broward County School Board, who was having an emergency meeting because they decided that they would not make the kids returning from winter break wear masks, but all the adults in the building had to. What the fuck? So they're debating this.
Right?
My God. It's just insane. And the president of the Broward Teachers Union got up there and said, what are you doing to us? If the kids don't have to wear the masks, then, you know, really the adults shouldn't have to either. But we should all be wearing the masks. We don't need a mask mandate because we wear the masks. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah. My 6-year-old grandson who started first grade this year, I have to say they're in Missouri, which is a decidedly backward state of late, and yet the city of St. Louis and the surrounding area is like a whole different world than out there in massive Missouri, you might say, because they went in and they had incredible, you know, they wore masks, they had really great dividers between the kids and all of that. And my grandson just loved it because it was so much better than being at home the whole time that he didn't mind any of the what we would think of as adults as nuisances because it just was natural to him.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't even know what historians will make of what this period has been about.
Oh, my God.
When you consider that everyone assumed, and look, I mean, Biden won the presidency, not only because he made Bernie-like promises here and there, but also because he wasn't Trump.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really, it came down to it. He's not Trump.
Right.
This is not going to be an idiotic administration. But I also have to say that after the American Rescue Plan initiative, we had almost a year ago.
Right.
This administration may also warrant being called utterly ridiculous and a failure. I know, you know, the liberals, the center liberal types, they're praising him no end. Like, look at the economy. You and I both know that it isn't necessarily any president who makes or breaks an economy in the short term.
True.
Okay. But for us,
you know what? Look, I'm sorry. I'm not defending the Biden administration. He has had so many stumbles along the way. A lot of what they say in sports, unforced errors that were unnecessary, that shouldn't have happened. That said, boy, was he dealt a bad hand. You know, I got to give him that.
Maybe, but it's also the case that he obviously had a very inadequate group of advisors surrounding him. Look, seriously speaking, I was ready to go.
You came on here and you bit your tongue because I asked you to. I said, give him a chance.
Yeah.
And for a while, it looked like it was okay. Now, I got to say, in the course of the last week, I had two different interviews on this program. One was with Jeff Hauser. He runs the Revolving Door Project over at CEPR, at the Center for Economic and Policy Research. That's Dean Baker's shop. And anything Dean Baker does, I respect. Indeed. And what they do at Revolving Door is assess the executive branch appointments, who he surrounds himself with, who he put on the cabinet and in leading various agencies. And while some of the picks were atrocious,
Buttigieg,
some of them were really, really good. So, you know, I'm trying to walk that line. I'm trying not to be all doom and gloom because, I warned against Joe Biden. He was not my fifth choice, or any of the first.
He was nobody's fifth choice, right. I don't think, except for Clyburn and Obama.
Right. But, if you compare it to the 4 years before him, I'll take this. And it's what Howie Klein always says. I refuse to vote for the lesser of two evils. Well, my attitude is I will always, if given a choice between two people, which is what we have once you get past a primary season, once we get to the general election, it is a choice between two people. If you vote for a third party, you're throwing away your vote. It's a choice between two. I will always vote for the lesser of the two evils because, unfortunately, there always or have been two evils that we're given a choice between.
Yeah, look, in that vein, and then I'll come back to what I was saying. The only time that I've ever at the federal national level believed I was not voting for the lesser of two evils was when Bernie Sanders was on the ballot in Wisconsin.
Right. Voted for him in the primary. Okay. That was the one person I, with gusto, with everything in me, that I was excited to vote for. In all the years, and I voted in my first election in 1980, my first presidential election. So Bernie was the one presidential vote, but again, it was in a primary. It wasn't in a general election.
Yeah, but now let me go back to my critique,
okay.
However upsetting
it may
seem.
I know. I had to put in the disclaimer.
The critique is this. The American Rescue Plan was a great launching pad.
Yes, it was.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That was what is often called in FDR terms, the Relief Act.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But they should have known, they had to know early on that they were going to suffer the likes of Manchin and Sinema. And by the way, Manchin and Sinema are just the tip of the iceberg.
Oh, I know.
But let's not forget, the Democratic Party in the House and the Senate did not enact the $15 minimum wage.
Nope, they did not.
That was very telling.
Yep.
Okay. And on those grounds alone, which by the way, worried me no end because of the fact that two of the folks who joined with Manchin and Sinema were the senators from Delaware.
Well, of course, Chris Coons and Tom Carper, right?
Yeah. I always forget the other character.
Carper.
Okay, so then you would imagine at that point that they would huddle, maybe even huddle with Bernie and say, okay, we're going to face a series of blockages. What can we do? Can we buy them off?
Yes. No.
Can we essentially blackmail them?
Sure, why not?
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, look, we know the degree to which corruption prevails in politics.
Mm-hmm.
We know there's Manchin and his... Right. And then there's the daughter and the appointment. And
oh,
we know
yeah.
all that,
and the
right?
and the price of the EpiPens. And, you know, that
yeah,
it's criminal.
Exactly.
And that goes right back to Matt. That's Manchin's daughter. Right. Yes.
But what did they do? They didn't do anything.
Nothing.
But then there's the other. Yep. There's the clean pursuit of, if you like, power and legislation. That is,
yeah.
you get out there and you rally people so that at least the people know that you're on their side,
uh-huh.
and that you're not some doddering idiot in the White House.
Yeah.
So sorry, I don't mean to upset you. It's
no, I know, I know. Look, no, it's fine. Don't worry about my anniversary. No, I know. And they have characterized him. Look, Joe Biden is old and quite doddering, but no older or more doddering than Donald Trump. That's the thing. The hypocrisy is just stunning. He's exactly, well, not exactly. I'll take Joe Biden over Donald Trump any day of the week.
That goes without saying. On this, in this meeting.
But they have successfully positioned him as a senile old coot. And well, Donald
and
Trump,
he enhances it. He only does sort of quickie afternoon press
right.
talks. But
he's always been like that. Remember Joe Biden, the gaffe machine. It was always every time he'd open his mouth as vice president, you'd cringe, not knowing what he was going to say next.
I'll tell you what. So I will not attack Biden. How about if I spend the next 40 minutes going after the
going for 40 minutes. So
okay. 25 minutes. How about if I go after Biden, not by way of Biden, but by way of Obama? the guy who literally imposed Joe Biden upon us.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I'm going to look, it's a year from now as we face the new year of 2023. You and I are going to talk.
Yes.
Well, that would be a Saturday probably, but
that's
you and I will talk.
Yeah.
And what I'm going to say to you is didn't have to be this way.
You know, it's deja vu all over again. I don't know when, you know, I'm thinking back. When's the last time I felt good about a new year? I pulled up the show from 6 years ago today because it was a Friday when David and I got married. I did a show that day because I'm nuts. And so I'm listening to just the beginning of it to hear what I did. And it was a 2-hour show back then. I was on earlier in the day, but I'm saying, thank God we're done with this year. The end of this year can't come quickly enough. And I'm thinking, oh my God, when was the last good year we had?
Well, this is really good. I saw something today. This fellow who lives in D.C. said that they're changing the rules for the ball drop on Times Square. Did you see this?
No.
Yeah, now you get to nominate who you want to be under the ball.
Well, I got to tell you, look, New York tonight after the ball drops, shortly after midnight, in Times Square where the crowd is going to be whittled down to 15,000 people, the new mayor will be sworn in. Bill de Blasio, he's out as of midnight and Eric Adams becomes mayor. That scares me. I know most New Yorkers were not happy with Bill de Blasio. I didn't live in New York during those 8 years, but this Eric Adams guy, I don't trust him for a minute. He's already talking about bringing back solitary confinement to Rikers Island. Are you nuts?
Yeah. Eric Adams in any other city would be a Republican, probably.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
For a start.
Yep.
And the Republicans would be talking about him as the next president of the United States, probably, after Trump.
Yeah.
And he can then compete with Hawley and DeSantis, right?
Oh, please.
But we really have to face up to the fact that his election victory is in great consequence due to the fact that Democrats do not know how to work with their own base.
Uh-huh.
They just don't know how. They don't know how to speak to working people's needs. And Eric Adams did. And with enough of a sort of set of Democratic Party kind of stuff added to it, a very kind of conservative, take back America kind of view. So, look, I'm worried here in Wisconsin. This is upcoming election year. I'm hopeful that my candidate for the Democratic Party nomination for the Senate will beat Ron Johnson. Any of the candidates would be welcome over Ron Johnson, but
anybody.
The candidate who I like, who is Mandela Barnes, the current lieutenant governor.
Yep.
I'd like to see him. But I'm more worried about the Republican the Republicans taking back the governorship, which would be a nightmare because the Republicans have such a gerrymandered lock on the legislature that if a Republican should win the governorship, I can't imagine the kind of things they'll legislate. They'll so far we've at least remained somewhat distant from the deep south of Florida, Texas, and the like. I just cannot imagine what they'll try to do to us if the Republicans take complete control of the state again.
Well, you think that whatever Republican governor they bring in really can't be any worse than Scott Walker, but yeah, they can. We see what's been happening. They've been getting exponentially worse. I thought no president could be worse than George W. Bush. Oh, my. Then we had Donald Trump. So, I think I wrote on the I do a write up for each day's show. And I think I did something on here. I ended with, I said, perhaps I'll end with a quote from Howard Jones. Things can only get better. That's the name of the song. And then I thought,
yeah,
if only that were true. Because as bad as things are, they could still get worse. Do you remember the people like Susan Sarandon, I'm sorry, who said, maybe we do need Trump. Maybe things need to get so bad, we need to hit rock bottom, that everyone will realize we need to... No, they just keep getting worse. There is no bottom. There is no basement.
No, anyone who can say that kind of thing has no sense of history whatsoever. Okay, no sense of history.
Look, yeah, I hear you.
Look, I actually don't think that Donald Trump is the worst Republican.
No.
I just think he's the worst political figure in America.
Right.
The worst Republican would probably
Mitch
be your
McConnell.
Governor.
Oh, my governor. You're right. My governor. And
your
it's probably worse than Mitch McConnell
would
now.
Be the worst.
Because closely, he's smarter.
A close second with Josh Hawley of Missouri.
Oh, God.
And by the way, so I was talking to, I guess last night with David Feldman, and I said, yeah, watch out. The Trump, I still don't believe Trump will be the nominee in 2024. My fear is, in fact, it'll be a DeSantis Hawley
right.
kind of ticket, yep. something like that.
Oh, my God. That would be atrocious. Look, I talk about what an idiot DeSantis is. But the thing is, and he is, but I think he's actually diabolically smart. And he chooses to be evil. But, he's Harvard educated. It doesn't mean just because he went to Harvard that he's brilliant.
Yeah.
But you got to have something up there in order to get in, right?
There you go. You have DeSantis and think about this. DeSantis and Hawley.
Oh,
DeSantis from Florida, Hawley from Missouri, and one went to Harvard and the other ended up at Yale Law School.
Oh, my God. Oh, my. We are so screwed. And they have been at this. You mentioned, they have a lock on the Wisconsin state legislature. But they've been doing this over the last 10 years, taking over all the state houses everywhere throughout the country. So if Donald Trump had been successful in his coup attempt and they threw it back to the House, the way it works is each state delegation gets a vote. Even though the Democrats have the majority in the House, they hold more state capitals, they hold more governorships.
That's right.
They would have had they would have won.
Yeah. Yeah, and these state legislatures can literally overturn
everything.
County.
Yep. David, hold on. David's here. What?
DeSantis is an idiot. He's just an educated idiot.
Right. He's an educated
idiot.
Speaking
from experience, having gone to Harvard, I will tell you, there are many educated idiots there.
Yes.
And another thing that you need to understand about Harvard, it is tougher to get kicked out of there for failing on your academics than it is to get in.
Okay.
And it's not easy to get in.
Right.
But it's harder to get kicked out.
That's a lesson I learned back when I was an undergraduate at Rutgers, basically, because it was harder to get into Harvard than it was to get into Rutgers, but it was easier to be thrown out of Rutgers than it ever would have been to get out of Harvard.
Harvard has 19 different types of academic probation. They want that.
Super secret?
They want that money. They, as one of the people said to me, they shouldn't give you a diploma. They should give you a receipt.
Okay.
And for full disclosure, I want to make it clear. My daughter is a graduate of Harvard College and Harvard Law School.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
She must be smart.
She is.
To
her credit, as now an assistant attorney general of the state of New York, she was in charge for many months of the New York State lawsuit against Amazon.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And you will notice recently Amazon is now declared and come to an agreement with labor that they will not oppose unionization as strenuously as they have, that they're going to be more hands off, that's at least their public declaration.
Yeah, sure.
So I'd like to think that my daughter's many hours of labor went into something. So.
Other than childbirth. Okay. Sorry.
That's not the daughter with the kid.
Okay. No worries. All right. So, Harvey, give us one major point that you want to make. What went wrong in this year? What do we need to do to make things better in the next year?
Okay. Seriously speaking, and I know that I'm always, for the last 9 months, a critic of the Biden administration. But the one thing that went wrong is that if Joe Biden was serious about an FDR administration, It wasn't simply a matter of how much legislation you would get passed. It was a matter of how much you would engage American citizens in trying to make America freer, more equal, and more democratic. In other words, how would you go about engaging Americans to believe not only that you're on their side, but that they have that it's not me, us.
Right. Right.
As Bernie said, that to me is the great tragedy of this past year. That Bernie's hashtag, not me, us, didn't land strongly enough in the, and I call them the Bidenettes. Okay.
Okay.
They just didn't get it. But I also will say, because listen, it's only 4:40 on my clock right now, 5:40 on your clock. Mm-hmm. But I want to make it very clear that there are reasons, one particular reason, I think, to be not, I don't know if the word hopeful is right, but at least to believe that things do not necessarily have to get worse.
Okay.
Okay. At least within the next 6 to 9 months.
Yeah. Tell.
And here's what I want to say. Okay. Next June, this coming June, is the AFL-CIO convention.
Okay.
And though I did not expect Richard Trumka, who I met many years ago, to pass away this past summer, I knew that he would be stepping down. I didn't understand he'd be stepping out of life. Okay. Sadly enough, the current president of the AFL-CIO is a fine labor person, but there always presents the possibility that from the grassroots, which is what I'm trying to encourage across the country, there will be a concerted effort to advance a campaign for Sarah Nelson to become president of the AFL-CIO.
Okay. She's the flight attendant?
The flight attendant.
She's
president.
Great.
Right. Yeah. She is great. You bet. And I will remind everyone that the Trump government shutdown was basically brought to an end by her rallying the airline unions to state that if the TSAs were calling sick in, then they were not going to fly with a government shutdown.
Right.
Okay. Because for safety
reasons.
And he then almost immediately, Trump opened the government back up. So the thing is, this is a young woman. Well, I say young woman. She's younger than I am, obviously. This is a young woman who understands the imperative of solidarity. It wasn't just that she took her union forward. She organized this coalition of unions to make that happen. And it's also the case that whenever there has been a significant strike, she has been there, whether it was Bessemer or elsewhere, she has been there on the line with fellow workers.
Okay.
And I think that we can cultivate a grassroots movement to have her run for the president of the AFL-CIO. Because I can tell you, the only thing that's going to get us out of this really, really hellish American political situation is going to be a revived labor movement. It will not be the light going on in the heads of the Democratic Party leadership, because I don't know if they've got lights to turn on any longer, given, okay?
Well, you know, I think she'd be great, but I think the president of the AFL-CIO, while important, is not as important as who the president of the United States is going to be.
I think
the Democrats are at a real disadvantage right now, because Joe Biden can run for re-election at, what, the age of 83? He's already not got the energy or stamina and the right has positioned him as this doddering old fool, whether that's true or not, that it is true because perception is reality. So that's, you know, even people who are reliable Democrats going, well, he's a little senile now, isn't he? Whether he is or not, it doesn't matter. They've determined that he is, and that's the common thing. And then, so if he doesn't run, it's going to be Kamala Harris, who's the VP, who is missing in action.
The trick will be to see if Buttigieg and Harris can knock each other out.
Oh, God.
Because they're... No, seriously. Neither one of them should ever be president.
No, you're right.
Period.
Yep.
And then the question is to see to what extent, call them the middle-aged, you know, the promising figures in the Democratic Party of middle age, either... At the national level, it's hard for me to...
Can I tell you who I would choose? Who I would like of people currently in the party, viable candidates? Sheldon Whitehouse, Sherrod Brown.
Sherrod Brown was before Bernie, decided to run again in 2019, I thought Sherrod Brown was my candidate if he decided to run. And then he said he wouldn't. And then he backed the wrong horse.
Yeah.
But that's okay. But the other thing is there are people who can emerge in the course of the Democratic campaign season. And I mentioned this guy to you before, and I think people should pay careful attention. I confess, a friend of mine in California named Joe Sanberg, who has launched S-A-N-B-E-R-G.
Okay.
I can give you a bio if you want right off the top of my head. But the more important thing is that he recently filed with a team of people to launch a ballot initiative in California. They've just arrived to the $15 minimum wage. He's got a ballot initiative he's advancing.
That's all well and good. He is not going to be the nominee in 2024. A virtual unknown on the political scene is not going to be the Democratic nominee in 2024. Tell him to run for Senate or something.
Well, that he entertained that idea and probably regrets not having primaried Feinstein at the time.
Oh, God.
Okay. Right. But all I'm saying is there are possibilities out there. I'm just using him as an example, and there may well be others that I'm less familiar with. But the more important thing in all this is that I don't believe Biden will be the candidate, nor
Trump.
Do I want Harris?
Oh God! Or Buttigieg. Okay. I hear you. Me either. All right. Well, let's keep our fingers crossed. Harvey, I'm gonna run, and I'm gonna say,
please do. Go enjoy your anniversary. My goodness.
Reconvene in early 2022. God, I hate that. That's going to bug me all year long. It's going to be with me all damn year. The next year. We'll talk after the holidays. And
yes, we'll talk in 2022. We'll talk in
2022. 2022. That too. All right. Harvey J.K., always a pleasure. Thank you so much. Happy New Year. All right. Bye-bye. Talk to you later. Bye. All right. So I let Harvey go. With you know, we've got a few minutes left because I've got other stuff that I wanted to get to today. And one of them is I want to hail Eric Swalwell. You know, he's been on the program. I actually really like him. He's a good guy. He's not as progressive as I would like, but, you know, I give the guy a lot of credit. He was really good in the impeachment hearings when he was on the impeachment committee and all that. I got to share this with you. Eric Swalwell went on, I guess, the Twitter today. It was today or yesterday. It was yesterday. And let me just read to you the tweet, the first tweet he sent out, because this is amazing. He writes, a man DM'd that I should be shot. For my family's safety, I asked Twitter for help in IDing him. When Twitter fell short, thanks for trying, I asked the guy his name, stringing him a bit, and why he threatened me. Meet Jeremy Marshall, who told me he was radicalized by Tucker Carlson. This Twitter thread is incredible. So I'm going to share some of it with you. So this guy tweets to him, traitor, hopefully you get hung one day. Traitor, you should be shot. So Eric Swalwell writes back, hi, I'm Eric. What's your name? And he says, and this is actually the congressman or is his assistant? Eric says, this is the congressman. Hi, what's your name? He says, Jeremy, by the way. Oh, cool. I'm from California. What about you? Canada. Okay, so there he admits where he's from. Eric Swalwell says, oh, I love Canada. Which part? Vancouver. You're a lot more personable than you come across. And Swalwell says, Vancouver is the best. You're lucky to live there. Well, I want to be responsive. And the troll says, okay, fair enough. So I'm pretty choked at these accusations, like a lot of people with regards to this Asian spy. Why don't you address it? And Eric Swalwell sends him a screenshot of an article explaining the thing. I'm not going to get into that right now. So the guy says, so totally by accident, you feel you were targeted? Swalwell says, I did nothing wrong. As FBI said, nothing else to say. And yes, I was targeted. Then he says, the next time I'm in Vancouver, we should grab coffee and discuss. Or when you're in America. And the guy says, okay, fair enough. I didn't see that article. I'm obviously right-leaning, even up here in Canada. If you were targeted, then I would be in the wrong. From articles I read, there was evidence you did know or should have known. Swalwell says, yeah, I didn't. Well, I'll look you up. Nice to meet you. So that's the first exchange. Then Swalwell asks him, Jeremy, what's your last name? And the guy says, you're so much different than I had read about, and I assumed you did, you know, based on what I read. Well, if I give you my last name, I said some mean things to you that I shouldn't have based on this convo, so I could get in some trouble. And Eric Swalwell says, oh, no way, we're totally cool. No offense taken. I'm glad we were able to clear this up. And Jeremy guy says, wow, you blow my mind, actually. I'm actually sorry for what I've said. You're more personable than I could have imagined. Swalwell says, I just figured since you know who I am and we will get together soon that you tell me who you are. And he says, all right, you're right. My name is Jeremy Marshall. And I'm actually glad we talked as well because I was totally wrong about you from so far talking to you. Am I reading the wrong articles or is the media targeting you as much as possible? And Swalwell says, Fox News targeting, that's all. And Jeremy says, oh, I feel like such an idiot. And Swalwell says, no worry at all. Do you work in politics? And he says, I used to donate my time to the local NDP party when they would run liberals a few years back. I couldn't be in politics, though, with what you guys go through and the bashing, even having to just deal with idiots like me, I guess. Swalwell says, I hear you. It's right out there. What do you do for work? I used to work as a lawyer before politics. And the guy says, I work as a contractor, and I'd say being a lawyer was probably easier for you than politics, less BS. Swalwell says, way easier, LOL. And then Jeremy says, really got dragged down the rabbit hole with your new case in a bad way, because you come across really easygoing and friendly. And Swalwell says, what made you think I should be shot? And Jeremy says, oh, you shouldn't be, obviously. I'm an idiot, and I got carried away on social media and saw red because of the articles I was reading regarding you. Okay, then it gets even better. And then he goes back to asking him about his work, and he talks about he's more of the project coordinator than administrative side on it. He says, but we're locked down pretty hard these days, so a little slow must be pretty surreal for us to be caught up in a spy thriller style situation. Even as a politician, must be hard to fathom being targeted by a foreign government. And then Eric Swalwell says, well, I'll tell my relatives in Vancouver to look up your business as they look to renovate their home. They're looking. And then again, the guy apologized. He said, I'm an idiot. I said inappropriate things to you, which I'm sorry for because you seem very nice. Thanks for being cool. I actually wish our politicians were more like you. Going to have to read more articles, not from the right, regarding you, I guess. And Swalwell says, no problem. I'll send the relatives your way. Is it just called Jeremy Marshall Contracting? And, you know, he said, yeah. And it goes on back and forth like that. Okay, now. So they do this exchange. Eric Swalwell asked him, who in the media were you listening to? Who was the one who told you that, you know, turned you against me and made you think like this? And he said, honestly, one was Joe Rogan, probably the most influential. You should be on his podcast. It would be a great debate and for his listeners to hear your side. Hold on, I have to check the other articles I read. And then he said, Tucker Carlson slammed you too much and lost me when he started saying you had multiple STDs. So at least he went so overboard he can't be believed anymore. All right. So then Swalwell, he posts these exchanges and then he says a few notes. I engaged with this guy solely to learn as much as I could about his identity to share it with law enforcement. I do not have any family in Canada. I was trying to get information about his business. Smart guy. He says, bottom line, the lies from Tucker and others are radicalizing people across not just America, but the world. And the lies are inspiring people to make threats of violence against lawmakers. Tucker and company know this, and that's why they tell their lies. They want to incite the mob. And then he said, finally, please do not threaten or harass Jeremy. Let the law and Instagram hold him accountable. You know what? That is so good. Now, some people are smearing Eric Swalwell for turning him in because the guy apologized. You know what? He has to be turned in. He has to pay the consequences for threatening a member of Congress and his family. That is not okay. And Swalwell just showed what a really good attorney he is because he got to the crux of it. He got this guy to give him his last name and tell him where he works. That is the sign of the mark of a skilled prosecutor, I think. So good for him. And yes, let's put Tucker Carlson in jail. I agree. All right, God, we have just a couple more things. I want to put a little bit of, there's so many ways I could go here. I have a ton of stuff to go through, but I found an article. It was actually let me make sure I have it here. I thought I pulled it, and maybe I didn't. There's a columnist at the Washington Post. Her name is Alexandra Petry, and okay, she wrote a piece called Some Things That Didn't Go Wrong in 2021. I'm not going to read the whole thing because we don't really have time, but I'll share some of it with you. She said lots of things transpired in 2021, which, say what you will about it, was certainly a year that happened. Most year-end reflections dwell on the things, good or bad, that actually occurred in the preceding 12 months. But in the interest of not dragging us through the agony again, I thought it might be nice to just focus on a few bad things that at least did not happen this year. The ice at the North Pole did not melt and release the unspeakable nameless thing that has been trapped there for 1,000 generations, which did not begin slithering on its hideous belly towards civilization, unhinging the minds of everyone who encountered it and leaving only devastation in its wake. That's true. That didn't happen. No big meteors. Thank God. Don't watch or do watch. Don't look up. Something did not suddenly go wrong with all bananas, causing people who opened them to scream in horror and afterward be unable to describe what it was that they had seen. Yeah, that's true. Nobody pressed any civilization ending wrong buttons by mistake. Can't always take that for granted. We did not learn more than 2 new letters of the Greek alphabet. Thank God, but, you know, there's always 2022. Let's see. Many areas of public life were not disrupted by major scandals that undermined everyone's confidence in the people they had trusted and placed in positions of power. Cool. The Ever Given is not still in the Suez Canal. And in the course of unsticking the Ever Given from the Suez Canal, we did not bump a box labeled ghosts. And thus, the air is not now thick with restive, lamenting voices seeking vengeance or justice that eluded them in life. Thank God. Oh, my God. Can you imagine? This was not the year it became impossible to wake up from dreams without first successfully solving a riddle. Phew, right? We dodged a bullet there. Still don't know what cats are really thinking. Okay. What else? No pop songs this year opened a portal to any sinister dimensions, as far as you know. What else? Okay, there's more. Book banning efforts still not entirely successful in all places, so we got that going for us. No small meteors. Hey. And some bad tweets happened, but you should see the bad tweets that didn't happen. Okay. The year did not inexplicably restart each time something went wrong, forcing us to compress lifetimes into the span of what should have been 365 days. And 2022 still scheduled to arrive at midnight tonight. So that all happened, or didn't happen, actually. So we do have some things to be thankful for. All right. With that in mind, now's the time I get sincere. I want to thank you guys for listening, for being here every day, because you're the reason I do this, and for supporting this show, because I can't do it without you. And I'm far from getting rich, and I could always use more donors, but we've been able to plod along and keep going, supplemented by my painting. So do buy a painting from me next year. Have me paint your pet or buy one of the other ones. And if you can, donate to the show because it helps. It really keeps me going. More than anything, thank you. Thank you for listening. To you guys in the chat room, I can't thank you enough for being here every day. You you make me feel, you know, appreciated. And sometimes I get the wrath of your ire, and that's okay. Because if we agreed about everything, it would be really boring. So thank you for disagreeing and hopefully doing it respectfully. To my husband, happy anniversary. We got married 6 years ago tonight, and things aren't perfect, but oh my God, I can't imagine life without him and alone. So with that, happy new year, everyone. May 2022 be better, because we all deserve a break, right? Oh, please. Happy New Year, everyone. I will see you Monday. We'll be back Monday, and we'll start all over again. Until then, I still don't have a sign off. I could sign off the way I did and then the written description. Things can only get better. If only that were true. Happy New Year, everyone. See you next year. Monday, you know. All right. Bye.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Well, we made it to the final What's News report of 2021. And the year came to a tragic end. A vicious wildfire that began Thursday morning in Boulder County, Colorado, spread and destroyed about 1,600 acres in just a few hours, burning hundreds of homes and causing thousands of people in two communities to evacuate. Fueled by historically powerful winds and drought-parched land, about 580 homes were destroyed, along with a hotel and a shopping center, making this possibly the most destructive fire in Colorado state history. Thankfully, no deaths or missing people were reported immediately. And as quickly as the winds began, they were due to subside overnight and the weather to swing quickly to the other extreme. The fire-ravaged area is now under a winter weather warning as of Friday morning, with 5 to 10 inches of snow expected to fall by Saturday. The Marshall Fire appears to have been caused by downed power lines. About 15,000 customers had no power early Friday in Colorado, most of them in Boulder County. The National Weather Service said that Thursday's event was a, quote, truly historic windstorm, with winds gusting over 100 miles per hour in Jefferson and Boulder counties, fueling the blazes. The CDC releasing some encouraging news, saying that the surge in infections fueled by Omicron could peak in mid-January and last just a few weeks rather than months. That would mirror the rise and fall in South Africa, where the Omicron variant was first identified. But in the meantime, as infections soar, hospitals face staff shortages, and the CDC is warning that even vaccinated travelers should avoid cruises. Got it? Okay. Now, in their 15-minute phone call on Thursday, President Biden reiterated that Russia would face unprecedented and punishing sanctions from Washington and its allies if Putin were to proceed with a new invasion of Ukraine. Putin reportedly told Biden that such actions would be a mistake, quote, which our descendants will later appreciate as a huge one. Many such mistakes have already been made over the past 30 years. Therefore, it is advisable not to make such mistakes in this situation. The U.S. and Russia are scheduled to hold bilateral talks in Geneva on January 9th and 10th. Those will be followed by talks at the NATO-Russia Council on January 12th and negotiations at the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, which includes Ukraine, on January 13th. And the jury in Ghislaine Maxwell's trial found Jeffrey Epstein's former girlfriend and enabler guilty on 5 of the 6 charges against her. Well, with the new year comes some new laws. A bunch of them go into effect around the country. A few highlights. Workers in 21 states will see an increase in the minimum wage in the new year. Some of the other new laws scheduled to take effect Saturday at midnight as the calendar turns the page to 2022. Some deal with abortion, as the Supreme Court takes up the matter in the first week of the new year. In the meantime, a new law in New Hampshire prohibits abortion after 24 weeks, with exceptions for the mother's life or physical health. There are new animal welfare laws. For example, beginning Saturday, California will have the nation's toughest living space standards for breeding pigs. Maryland will join a number of states with a new law that will prohibit the sale of any new cosmetic product if it contains ingredients that were tested on animals. Some drug law changes take effect. Recreational marijuana becomes legal in Montana. So the state voters approved the change in a November 2020 initiative. There are some laws against physical discrimination. In a good move, both Illinois and Oregon, new laws take effect that ban discrimination based on physical characteristics, such as a hairstyle. In Oregon, the bill, unofficially known as the Crown Act, will ban discrimination based on, quote, physical characteristics that are historically associated with race, including hairstyles like braids, locks, and twists. A number of states also passed new criminal justice laws in 2021, spurred by the protests following the murder of George Floyd and other black people killed by police. An Illinois law standardizes certification of police officers by the Illinois Law Enforcement Training and Standards Board and allows for decertifying officers for repeated errant or unethical behavior instead of only when they're convicted of a crime. In North Carolina, law enforcement recruits must now receive psychological screenings by a licensed psychologist to determine their suitability for the job before they can work as an officer or deputy. I like that one. In Oregon, a new law requires a police officer who witnesses another officer engaging in misconduct or a violation of the state's minimum moral fitness standards to report it to a supervisor within 72 hours. A police agency must then complete an investigation within 3 months and report findings of misconduct that rises above minor violations to the state. Those are just a few of the new laws that go into effect as 2022 arrives. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler, thanking you for listening this year, for being plugged in and involved. We need to increase our numbers in 2022. On behalf of everybody at Progressive Voices, thank you for listening, and let's take on the new year. Happy New Year. Let's make it one.